Well, good morning, Rise Church family. Some unusual circumstances that we're facing here with the outbreak of the coronavirus, and I trust that you guys are comfortable at home and that you're enjoying each other's company, the company of your family. You know, we find ourselves in strange times, and we just all have to do what's necessary. You know, the result of today is not from a position of fear, but we're wanting to do our part to be good citizens in the community, to look after those and to care for our families and our neighbors. So we've chosen this morning to do our service online, and we will do so until we get the all clear from the proper government officials, which we will believe will be no time at all. You know, in light of the circumstances that are going on, I do have a message I want to share with you this morning. So, you know, get comfortable, grab a cup of coffee, you know, find your favorite chair, put on your favorite hoodie if you have it, and get ready. We're just going to jump into the Word a little bit this morning, and we're going to deviate from what we've been talking about, which is our Who Are You series, which is centered around identity. But for today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a little bit about anxiety and worry. Given the recent circumstances and things that are happening that are beyond our control, sometimes we find ourselves in a position where we could be tempted to worry and to be afraid. That's why we have to come around the Word. It's why we have to come around worship. To be able to find ourselves in a position where we're filled with faith and hope for what lies ahead, not worry and dread. So this morning, I just want to give you some encouraging words today. You know, let your heart be filled with faith and not fear this morning. We start in John chapter 14, verse 27 with Jesus speaking. And he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." While the message of Christ is peace and joy, unfortunately, with the way the world is today, many Christians' heart is full of worry and trouble and fear. And this is not the way that God would have it to go. There's many challenges and distractions that we are faced with at this time and in this age. You know, today we're coming to you because of a pandemic that's going on in the world, which is kind of a funny thing to say. You know, it's a bit odd. But, you know, none of us asked for this, yet here we are having to deal with it and go through it. But how many of you know that God is in control? God is not afraid. God is not upset. God is not worried. So why should we be today? We take precaution, we use wisdom, but we trust God. Amen? There are many challenges and distractions that we're facing. You know, today it's coronavirus, but, you know, it could be other things. It could be your job. It could be your family. It could be your health. It could be your finances. There are many things that we are tempted to worry about every single day. Worry, stress, and anxiety is one of the greatest curses that have been placed upon our society today. You know, a five-year study that was done many years ago found that stress is four times as likely to cause heart failure and related problems than smoking is. The results of a study of 5,000 members of what they call the Century Club, which is people who have lived to be 100 years old, shows the common denominator among the majority of them was not their diet, it wasn't their exercise, it wasn't their smoking preference per se, but that they had learned to manage stress in their lives. They had learned to manage fear and anxiety in their lives. At one time, I don't know if this is still true today, but I was told that MD Anderson Hospital for cancer patients in Houston, Texas, has a laughing room where they show old comedies for their patients because doctors know that laughter reduces and relieves fear and stress. You know, one thing that we can be certain of is worry never helps anyone or anything at any time. It never helps. Contrary to what we might think, contrary to our traditions, worry is not the way to show others that we care for them. There are several Bible warnings against worry, anxiety, and fear. Psalm 37:1 says, "Do not fret because of evildoers." Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain you." Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." 1 Corinthians 7:32 tells us, "But I want you to be without care." 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Worry ties God's hands. He can only care for you to the degree that you cast your cares upon him. He can only get involved to the degree that you allow him to be the one who cares for you. So worry, which we call doubting God, and humility, which is agreeing with God, are polar opposites. Don't be a worrier. Walk in humility, which means coming under agreement with what God says. See, God gives grace to the humble. To those who give their cares or worries to him, God will release grace to you. When we come into agreement with God that God's saying that he has it, he's in control, that everything's going to be okay, for our God cares for us. When we come into agreement with that, worry can't live in that same space. You can't doubt God and believe God at the same time. Mark 4:19 says this, Jesus said, the cares of life choke off the word from becoming fruitful in our lives. Well, I don't need to tell you that that's not a good thing to happen. We don't want the cares of life to choke out the good word that God is speaking into our life. That leads me to today, the main scripture that I wanted to get to this morning. And before I jump into it, I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at, wherever you find yourself this morning, God is with you there. Isn't it awesome that we can be part of a church? We are the church. Whether we're all together in one building or whether we're at our separate homes, no matter where we are in the world, we're all pulled together under his care and under his grace, the way that he loves us and looks after us. We're all one big family. Wherever you are right now, I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit would just begin to come in, and that worry and fear and anxiety over the events of the world would begin to dissipate, and great fear and courage will come into play. So before we jump into this next few parts, and it's not very long, but let me just pray for you real quick. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word, that your word is life. I thank you, God, that you're not silent, but you're speaking to us through your Holy Spirit. Father, today, that no matter where we are, I pray that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts ready to receive that which you have for us, in Jesus' name. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, I want to read this passage of scripture to you, and then we're just going to break it down quickly. I want to give you three things to do this morning and to focus on this morning. Scripture in Philippians 4, 6, 8 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. This scripture gives us three things. This passage gives us three things to do when worry and fear and anxiety want to creep into our life. It gives us three distinct steps that I want to talk to you about. The first one I want to talk to you about is this. It's simply this. Pray. I know it's not rocket science. I know we talk a lot about this, but how often do we find ourselves in situations where we just forget to simply stop and pray? We need to pray in everything. Pray until you have released it to God. Pray when it comes to your spouse. Pray when it comes to your children. Pray when it comes to your finances. Pray when it comes to your health. Get whatever it is that you're worrying about, get it into God's hands as quick as possible. Then he can get to work on it. You know, so many times the biggest problem with our problems is that we're trying to work on it and work on it and work on it, yet we fail to get it into the hands of the one who can fix it and make something good out of our mess. You know, you and I do have a part to play, but we need to understand our part is not God's part. We have a part to play, but we cannot be God. We cannot do his part. Let me give you an example. I remember our pastor, Pastor Greg, many years ago, he told me this. He gave this example. It's kind of like you know, your car's broken down, it's not going real well, it's making some weird noises, and you need to go to your mechanic. And it's kind of like giving your keys to your mechanic who knows how to fix your car, but then you begin to take them back before he begins to work on it. That doesn't do a whole lot of good. If you know, at some point you got to let go of the keys, and he's going to have to take control of that vehicle in order for it to get fixed, to get back on the road, moving in a productive way toward where it needs to go. When we pray, it's like this. It's like saying, you listen, I'm driving the vehicle, and it's not driving the way it should. So in order for it to be fixed, I've got to get it into the hands of the one who knows how to do it. Well, the first thing we got to do is we got to pray. And when we pray, it's like handing over the keys to the problem, handing over the keys to our fear, handing over the keys of worry to the only one who can get our life running the way it is supposed to be running. We have to pray until we get our cares on the Lord. And then we have to begin to understand, then it's not our problem anymore. It's not our problem anymore. You know, many of you have heard this story. I'm going to share a couple stories over the next few minutes that you've probably heard before. That's okay. It's good to hear them again. I like to recount, you know, when I was younger, I used to be like, man, that preacher tells the same story over and over and over again. But you know, what's funny about that is as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that there are altars and markers in our life where we've seen God come through, where we've seen God do great things. And even just like the ancient Hebrews, they would set up altars or markers where wonderful things happened. And you know, I think sometimes we have to go back to those things to remember what God did. And today I want to give you just a couple of examples of those, but there was a time when we first took over the church here where, you know, being young pastors, being 35 years old, taking over from a tremendous leader that was here before us that had really been a blessing to this community and to the people. And so worried about, you know, am I going to be able to fill his shoes? Am I going to be able to do what needs to be done? And I realized I began to live under anxiety and fear in trying to do that. But immediately as that happened, you know, whenever there's transition, whenever there's change, even if it's good change, it's an opportunity for disruption. And when that happened, when we transferred the church, you know, a lot of people who were seeing to the finances and the funds of the church, well, you know, they moved on, and God bless them. You know, we had to trust God in that moment. But, you know, it came down to where we had a very large bill that needed to be paid in the church. And here I am, a young pastor, and I don't know how to pay it. We don't have the money in the bank. We don't know what to do. It was about a $25,000, you know, payment that needed to happen. And there was just no way to make it happen. And so I did what was the last resort to me, which is, well, I guess I'll just go pray, which really should have been the first option. And as I went to the Lord and as I began to pray and I began to seek him, and I said, God, we've got this problem. You know, we've got this $25,000 bill we've got to pay. We don't have the money to pay it. It's not there. I don't know what's going to happen. Are we going to be able to keep the doors open? What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? And I remember even saying the words, God, what are we going to do about this? And he began to speak to my heart, and he said, you're not going to do anything. This is not your problem. I said, God, but all these people are looking at me to have the answer and to be the solution in this moment, to you know, to keep the church moving in the right direction, to make sure the doors stay open. And he goes, well, first of all, it's not your church, it's my church. Lesson number one. He says, this is not your problem. I said, so God, what do we do? He goes, you're not going to do anything. I'm going to handle it. This is my problem to fix, not yours. Now, for those of you who might be somewhat type A, you know that that doesn't always fly. So I just had to keep, you know, I kept going to the Lord, and every time I went to him and I kept trying to take the keys of this problem back into my hands, he just kept saying to me, this is not your problem. This is my problem, says the Lord. You're going to have to trust me. So finally, you know, in my lightning fast mind, I put two and two together and said, well, maybe I should just trust God on this one. So I did. And about a few days later, we get a phone call from the people that we owed the finances to. And they said, hey, listen, we just wanted to let you know that we're going to go ahead and give you a 1-year extension. You don't owe us anything this year. We'll pick it up again next year, but don't worry about it for this year. Your debt has been canceled. You're free to go. Praise God. I mean, what an amazing thing to have happen. And it just went to show me that it truly wasn't my problem. It was his problem to handle. And when he handles it so much better than I ever could. I realized in dealing with that situation that my worry was actually a lack of trust that God was going to be faithful. And I had to repent in that moment, because you know what, guys? God is always faithful in every season, in every situation. I couldn't handle it. It was too big for me, but he could. We got to get the keys of the problem into his hands as quickly as possible, because he's the only one who can fix it. And we pray and we cast our cares upon him and let him do what only he can do. The next thing we have to do, the verse tells us, the scripture tells us in Philippians, is that first we pray and then we thank God. You know, you pray first and then you thank him. I think right now, many of us are probably having the temptation to be in our homes and, you know, school's not going on. Well, the kids are pretty thankful about that. I'll tell you right now, I'm sure the kids are thankful to have some extra time off school. But there's parents that are worried, what are we going to do with our kids? Well, you know what? We look around and we start looking at all the problems. And when we get our eyes on the problems, we do this funny thing as humans. We quit thanking God and we start talking up our problems. And you know, we start grumbling and complaining. And instead of grumbling and complaining, I want to encourage you. I want you to begin to thank God. I want you to thank God for what you have. I want you to start blessing what you've got in front of you instead of cursing what you're worried about. Amen? You know, we have to maintain the proverbial attitude of gratitude in every season, in every situation. Every time you think about your worries or your problems, after you get your cares over to the Lord, you need to take that opportunity to thank and praise God that he has a solution. The devil won't remind you of your problems so much if every time he does it, you turn to God and start thanking him and you start turning your focus on God. I mean, that's kind of counterproductive to what the enemy wants to do. He's going to quit reminding you when every time he looks at you, you get reminded of what's going on in your life and you instantly start praising. I'm going to tell you, he doesn't like that. That's something that we have to start doing. You know, we may not have control of every circumstance. We may not have control of, you know, all the pandemics and all the different things that are going on, but you do have control of what you can give gratitude toward. You have control of you. You have control of your attitude. And it's especially in times of struggle, especially in times when we're trying to figure out and the world is chaotic and confusing. That's especially the time we need to start praising and thanking God for the good things in our life. So instead of worrying, pray. Instead of worrying, thank God. Amen? You know, I was thinking about a specific situation that I wanted to share with you. You know, we had an example of our son, Simon, when he was younger. And we found out that he was only about a month and a half old or so. And he had to be taken into the hospital for breathing issues. And many of you have heard this story. And it's one I like to tell and I like to remember because I like to think of that moment when God was good. And the doctors didn't know what was wrong with him. They didn't know why his breathing was so labored, why he wasn't getting oxygen. They were doing every scan they possibly could do. Yet the answer wasn't coming. The answer wasn't presenting itself. How frustrating is that, to be in a situation where you're doing everything you know to do, but the answer's just not presenting itself? And in that moment, the doctor had just come in and said, warned Karen and I that we needed to settle in for the long haul, that this is going to take a while. We don't know what's going on with him, but this is going to take a while. So immediately I began to pray, as many of us do, And I just started turning the keys over into God's hands in that moment. And I said, God, the doctors don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm definitely no medical expert. Would you heal my son? Could you fix this situation? You know, the enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy in this moment, and they're stealing from his health, and we just want to go home. We want to take him home. And the Lord said, do you want to go home today? And I said, yes, Lord, I want to go home right now. I never wanted to be here to begin with. He said, well, then I want you to begin to thank me. I want you to begin to praise me. I want you to put some worship music on, and I want you to sing out thanks and praise to me. And as I did that, you know, I was pretty honestly, it was kind of like, you know, God, here now where everybody can hear me in this hospital room. It's like, do it now. So my wife had taken a walk, and it was just me, my son, and the Lord, or so I thought. And so I put on some worship music. My wife had brought worship music to play into the hospital room, and I put it on. And I just started to thank God that the enemy was defeated. And I began to thank God that this situation was defeated and that he was in control. And I began to sing praise. And it was a wonderful thing because I've got my hands in the air and I'm declaring the goodness of God. And I'm declaring his favor and I'm declaring healing. And I'm thanking God for doing something that I haven't even seen the evidence of yet. And as I'm thanking him and I'm just feeling a deep sense of God's goodness in that room, you know, it's one of those things where I kind of lost where I was in that moment. And when I turned around and when I stopped, I looked back and there was a nurse in the room with us praising God. And there was a nurse in the hallway listening. And I never saw them come up. I never heard them come up. And they had just joined in thanking God. And they just began to surround me. And it was one of the most amazing things that, you know, here I am. I thought I was by myself, yet these nurses came in and we were all thanking God together. And I tell you with all the celebration I can muster, within an hour, the doctor came in and said, you know what? Everything's come back clear. He's going to be fine. And they sent him home. We went home that day. When we quit, when we put the keys in God's hand, when we prayed and put the keys in his hands, and we began to thank him for what he was going to do, all of a sudden, the tide began to turn against what the enemy was trying to accomplish in our life. See, when you give God thanks consistently, three things change. First, you change. You get your eyes off the problem and on God. Second, the enemy, he changes. Praise binds him and silences him. That we find that in Psalm 8, verse 2, and Psalm 9, 2. And then the next thing that happens is our circumstances change. You know, the prison doors fly open as they did for Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. So if you want you to change, the enemy to change, and circumstances to change, you need to start praising God. And the last thing I want to touch on that our scripture talks to us about is first we got to pray. Then we got to thank. And then it goes on to tell us to think. To think on these things. Whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is just, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, whatever is virtuous or praiseworthy. Think on or meditate on these things. If your thoughts don't line up with these things, don't think about them. Cast them down. Tell them to get out of your mind and refuse to give them a home in your life. You can control your thoughts. And in this day and age where we're trying to do our due diligence, yet it's very easy with 24 hours news cycle for us to fall in to worrisome thoughts and constantly seeing what's going on with coronavirus or COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. It's very easy for us to let our thoughts get out of control and start running to the worst possible scenarios. But you got to get our thoughts under control. We have to think upon the good things in life. That doesn't mean we bury our head in the sand and don't acknowledge that things are happening or tough things are happening. What we do is we begin to think about the goodness of God. Think about his strength. Think about what he can accomplish. Think about how he can deliver. And then it's amazing. As we start to focus on these things, all of a sudden, our situation begins to look a little differently. You know, five things I want you to know that are never from God. The first is fear. The second is doubt. The third is confusion. The fourth is discouragement. And the fifth, condemnation. Those thoughts, if it's a fearful thought, a doubting thought, a confusing thought, well, some of us have more of those as we get older, a discouraging thought or a condemnation, it's not from him. So don't allow it to rent space in your head. You begin to think on the things that God says. That's why it's so important that we read the word. It's why it's so important that we encourage Be around encouraging people, because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. God understood the power that we have to be able to think about things correctly. Every time any thought pattern comes to your mind that brings you into fear, doubt, confusion, discouragement, or condemnation, you must resist it with the Word of God. You have to put it behind you with the Word of God. You know, exactly what happened when Simon was sick, you know, in that moment. The enemy kept coming to my mind to convince me that God wasn't faithful, and he began to bring fear, and he began to try to put doubt. Are we ever going to go home? Is he ever going to be healed? What's wrong with my little boy? What's happening here? He just began to blast my thoughts and just bombard my thoughts with fear and doubt and negativity and confusion and discouragement. And even condemnation, like, what have I done wrong to deserve this? God, how did I fail? The enemy kept coming and kept showing up. But you know what happens is when he does that, you have to refuse to listen to the lies. Every time he did, thank God for the Holy Spirit, which just reminded me to fight him with the Word. Fight him with the Word. Matthew 6:33, Philippians 4:19, 3 John chapter 2. You know, when the enemy comes in, he's coming in to try to disrupt you. He's coming in to try to confuse you and disorient you with your thoughts. He's trying to get your thoughts to run out of control into fearful, dark places, and forgetting that we serve an all-powerful, almighty, incredible God. We can't allow ourselves to go to those places. We got to fight it with the Word. You know, something I've noticed about the enemy. Whenever the enemy comes around, please understand, he's only trying to accomplish one thing. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. Every time he shows up, there is no other reason why he's there. If he's there, it's because you have something to steal. If he's there, it's because you have something that he's trying to destroy, to kill in its infancy. If he shows up, it's because you have something that he wants to stop. And so what we have to do is we have to remember what we have. You know, with Simon in the hospital room on that day, many, many years ago, worship won the day. Trust secured the victory. When I began to turn my thoughts toward him, my thoughts started to become like his thoughts. You know, instead of thinking like the enemy, we began to think how God thinks. And I'm telling you right now, victory is found in that space. You have to fight the enemy with the Word and the peace of God that passes all understanding or natural reasoning. And that will begin to guard your heart and mind. This incredible peace that we've been given in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that talks about it. A peace that passes understanding. A peace that passes your natural reasoning. You may not understand it, but you're going to have peace in that moment. Even if somebody says, even with all the statistics and the coronavirus and all this, yes, we can have peace in this moment because God is faithful and God is good. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to get through to the other side. And we're going to overcome this just like we overcome so many other things. See, you cannot worry and have peace at the same time. And you cannot worry and trust God at the same time. So my plea to you today is don't allow yourself to get into a place of worry and fear with the events that are going on. We're going to operate in wisdom. We're going to do our due diligence, and we're going to serve the best practices. But above that, we're going to trust God. So next time you're tempted to worry, next time you're tempted to fall into a place of fear, I want you to pray, I want you to thank God, and I want you to stop and think of his goodness. Do exactly what Philippians tells us to do. Let's go back and read that verse one more time. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, there's the pray, and with supplication and with thanksgiving, there's the thanking, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace, this wonderful peace he promises us, of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you want a guarded heart and mind, you have to pray, you have to thank God. And then verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Let the goodness of God dominate your thoughts today. So don't worry, pray, thank, and think. Church, I just want to pray for you and bless you. And we're going to close with that today. Next week, we're going to be continuing to follow what the health officials tell us to do. We're going to continue just to listen and keep our ear to the ground. And we'll keep letting you know what's happening. We're not going to keep you in the dark. We're going to get back to live services as soon as possible. It's kind of a weird feeling for me to be in here preaching to an empty room. But I can't wait for this room to be filled again with laughter and praise and joy and celebration, to be able to be with our Rise Church family. And as soon as we can do that, that's exactly what we're going to do. But until then, we're just going to keep trusting God. We're going to keep praising Him. We're going to keep thanking Him. We're going to keep going to Him and trusting Him. And we're going to keep talking about the good things that He's doing. I love you. Be blessed. And let me pray for you real quick before we go. Father, I thank you that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father, in these times of confusion, in these times where the world is fluctuating and changing, it seems not just day by day, but hour by hour, I pray for that peace that surpasses understanding to rule and reign in your people. And I also pray, Lord, that the church, the global church, would take this time of confusion and this time, this opportunity to be able to reach out and just be the love of Jesus to our communities. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for blessing over families. And in Jesus' name, we curse the coronavirus, COVID-19. We curse it in Jesus' name. We tell it to cease and desist and die. Father, I thank you for saving lives. I pray for our medical officials all over, not just worldwide, nationwide, and community-wide, Father. I pray for all of our health officials, all of our health experts, our doctors, our nurses, all the people who are serving, all the first responders, Father. I just pray that you would protect them and keep them safe. Give them wisdom from the Holy Spirit to know what to do. And I thank you, Father, that we will see an end to this soon. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.